What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and alongside me is Mr. Joe DeCapita.
What's going on, all you guys out there? Blitz Nation, what's up? Welcome to another show. And we are pretty excited to talk about some of the most interesting players for each team, your breakout players for this upcoming season. And before we get to that, real quick, just want to say, listen, we're coming from grumblingsmedia.com. Make sure you go ahead over there and check out all the other podcasts that we have available for you guys. We have political, we have entertainment, we got sports as well, as you can tell. This will be your football channel to kind of dive into. That's on grumblingsmedia.com. You can also go to rumble.com to check us out. And YouTube. Go over to Grumblings YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, the notification bell, let you guys know when we go live. Like, share, comment, drop the comments in there so that way we can kind of react to you guys, give you some questions, give us some insight that you guys might have, your opinions, all of that. Drop it down below. Also, you can also take us on the go wherever you are at, anywhere with your podcast, your Apple, your Google, your Spotify, your Pandora, you name it, it's there. Make sure you drop a follow. Bring us along for the ride.
All right, Joe, yeah, and we're going to get right to it. Like you said, we got that list in just a little bit. But the thing that's top of the headlines right now, at least with the NFL, amongst some of the other, OTAs and people not showing up and stuff, but Harrison Butker all over the news now, Joe. Oh my goodness. Everybody's up in a tizzy and in a fit right now over Harrison Butker. He continues to receive backlash here for his commencement speech that he had at Benedictine College in Kansas here. He was invited to do a speech for all the graduates there. He's out there in the public letting him know that he is a devout Catholic speaking to a Catholic college about values that they all believe in. So, I mean, it was nothing different than what you would hear anywhere in a Catholic church, the same type of beliefs. And if anybody that listened to the full speech and still came out of that speech offended, I mean, that is preposterous. Because, again, he's talking about his values and really core values of this nation right now in America and the way we should kind of believe. I know people want to take little inserts out of here, there, and then say under a microscope and kind of be like, oh, what he said, this is it, oh, my goodness, and blah, blah, blah. Relax, you know what I mean? Because even some of it, there were some kind of hidden little sneaky jokes about our leadership and how that, support some of the he said about poor leadership, poor policies, supporting abortion and degenerative culture, things like that, which is true. These are all true facts that are going on with what's going on with our administration that's in there right now, and it's speeding out throughout the media. And the fact that this guy's life is now almost being ruined for kind of sticking up for some of these values, I think is ridiculous. It has gotten so crazy that there is actually a petition going on right now. I think it's on change.org. They have a petition right now for Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker to be released, dismissed by the Chiefs. And right now, currently, he has 222,455 and counting signatures on this petition. Joe, what do you think about this ridiculousness?
It's hilarious. I can't, honestly, like, this is ridiculous. So the guy makes a speech, for graduation, for all the students that were in, that were partaking in everything, and it kind of just went viral because a few people decided to take that information that he was giving in his oral speech and everything, and kind of make it this big, huge argument, like this big platform that it didn't have to be. Like, if you didn't make anything out of it, nothing would have come of it. So it was almost like a few people kind of went out of their way to try to make this an issue, to try to create an argument, a disagreement, to create some kind of viral reaction, which that's what happened. So, and by doing so, though, now Harrison Butker there, like, has been the longtime kicker for the Chiefs and is going to continue to be so. You can do petitions all you want and try to get hundreds of thousands of signatures, but I got news for you. It's hard to find a really good kicker in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are not going to just flat out cut him because a petition is being signed for his release. It's not going to happen. This is football. This is a business. This is his job. And that to me is just absolutely ridiculous for them to even kind of push the issue. Listen, you don't agree with it, it's fine. If you don't agree with anything he said or half of what he said or whatever the case may be, it's okay. Just go on about your lives. Like, that one individual is not going to ruin the rest of your life because he said some words, and he had to have beliefs that behind those words, and that's what he stuck to himself. True. And for anybody kind of to despise the man, whatever, like, listen, you might not agree with what he said, but don't make it a big ordeal when it's his beliefs. He did his speech. Let's let it go now. Let's just move on. Like, Chief fans are still going to love him when he kicks a field goal and gets 3 points to win the game. Like, that, this is absolutely ridiculous that we're even talking about it now.
Right.
Because one individual that had a speech, I could go on a podium today and give my own speech about whatever, about NFL analytics or whatever, and you may completely disagree with my viewpoint.
Right.
Whether it be whether I make it political, whether I make it gender wise or anything of that nature, you might completely disagree with me. But what are you gonna listen now? This is the thing that kind of gets me, is you have a professional athlete. Everybody knows who Harrison Butker is. He's a football player. Now, if he was just a regular average Joe and did that speech, would they go out of their way to make this a viral thing? I don't think so.
No.
I think it has to do with his stature as a player in the league, being in the NFL, and the platform that he has to reach millions. That's why this kind of this whole thing came up to be a bigger thing than what it had to be.
Yeah, and people are missing the point again. A lot of this again too, and you can have whatever values you see true to yourself and things like that too. And the fact that you're getting outrageous, the things that they're saying, like racism. He says nothing about blacks at all in this at all. So that's one thing. So there's no racism there at all.
Right.
He brings up the fact that priests are even bending their own things because they're afraid of backlash with the way society's going right now. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be shunned, and they don't want to lose numbers at their church and all this other. So they're trying to bend upon the rules of what the Catholic Church was really started upon and the way it should be. And he says, listen, try to find a priest that really stays down to these core values and what we should believe in. And a lot of people think that the core values that he's saying is a woman should stay at home and should do everything for a man and should not get a job. He just says nothing about that in this speech at all. He at least he first starts off and says, "Hey, listen, he knows he's going to a college where women, along with men, are graduating from college to probably start a career. I mean, you think he's going to go, hey, congratulations, you have this, degree now. Now it's wasted, so you're just going to go home and be a housewife and just mop floors and shit like that." No. He's saying, listen, you want to pursue your career and things like that. He's like, but listen, upon our natural calling and things that you will find the most dear to your heart, most closest and most fulfilling part of your life that people overlook on the daily. People get wrapped up in their jobs. They get wrapped up in all this other crap, Facebook, and there's all this crap that's out there, TikTok, and don't pay attention to the real core facts that are out there and the things that really should matter to them. And that's all he was saying, that, listen, despite of what you do in your career and things like that, and he's saying, I can guess right now. I'm guessing that to you guys, based on your traditional Catholic values, that what is biggest and the most fulfilling for you would be the fact that you would be able to take care of your family in the house and you love your children, your husband, and be respectful and do that. And that is the most fulfilling thing to you in your life. And I think if that was you heard me when I just said that, I think a lot of women would agree with that. At least a lot of their Facebook timelines and shit like that show that they do, you know, with their pictures. Oh, my kids, oh, I love them so much, hashtag blah, blah, blah. So it's not for all that. It's what you really believe and what you know, it really stands for. And they're missing the point completely, Joe. And it's ridiculous. The fact that this is where they're like, oh, this is he's downplaying women and that they should just stay at home and be a slave to a man. And now it's just their time to get their spot in the spotlight. Like you said, if it wasn't an NFL player, they'd just be like, they'd still try to shun the guy anyways and make sure he gets fired anyways. And the weak employer would probably bow down to the masses too.
The media wouldn't run with it like they did, first of all. And second of all, I wanted to just kind of touch base with what you just said. Because in his speech, the little portion that I was able to watch, he actually broke down and talked about his wife.
Yes.
And talked about, as an example, basically was giving an example of how much happier she is now. Not knowing at the time, but when they got married, and out of all of his success and the money that he's made up to this point, he's been able to provide for her, and in turn, she's provided for him, bearing his children, having his home life always straight. Like, everything is being taken care of at home because his wife is there doing everything, but at the same time, he's providing, going to work and, you know, and bringing the paycheck home. That's not to say that that's all he's doing. He's also not just providing, but he's also, when he has time, when they go on vacations and stuff, like, they're together. It's all about family life. Like, it's a give and take. It's a balance of obstacles that they both have to share and go through. And that's all he was really basing it on, is trying to give an example of, like, how happy females can be as wives at home, taking care of the things that are necessary to take care of at home, whether it be your kids, whether it be just the everyday workings around the house. You know what I mean? Keeping everything in order. You know what I mean? And then he goes off to work. He makes his money. He comes back. He spends time with his family. Mm-hmm. They have dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep going, and then they do things together. Like, that's all it was. Right. He was trying to paint a picture where it was, this is, family life is the most important thing. And it's not about getting a career and going out and doing the hustle bustle, both of you. And then now, okay, well, who's going to watch the kids? Well, we just paid a babysitter to watch the kids. Now your kids are hardly seeing either one of you. And it just kind of creates other issues down the road where he was just simply saying, like, listen, trust me. Wives or girlfriends or whatever you want to say, like, if you're together, you're together, you would be happier with home life than having to go to work every day just like him.
Right.
And all you got to worry about is just taking care of the home, and then you guys can be together and be a family. That's all. I understand where he was headed with his speech, and I think they kind of took what he was the real meaning of his speech, they were taking it, twisting it. And then once the media got their claws into this, they just ripped it to shreds and made it they added words, they added ideas into the speech and created this kind of monstrosity of viewpoints to kind of tear down Harrison Butker and tear down his beliefs and tear down everything and just made this thing kind of just out of this world ridiculous.
Yeah, like you said, broke down in tears. And I'll read you in the quote right here, at least the first part, in quotes, all of my success, he gives credit right there, all of my success has been made possible because of a girl I met in band class who happened to convert to the faith. And because of my wife, you know, that she embraced the most important titles of all, homemaker. And this is the thing, that he gives her all the credit of that, of his success, because of what she had done. And what she does is that she's a primary educator for all the children, so she homeschools them, does all that in these jobs. And she also brings up the fact that she helps keep them grounded, to say that football isn't everything and that it doesn't interfere with their home life. Like you said, they're able to come home, have dinner, and all this, and it doesn't make it everything. Because what have we seen also, Tom Brady and some other place, people, players? It's all football. So then they're not home. You know, they're constantly, William Giselle's constantly telling them, when are you going to be done? When are you going to be done? When are you coming home? I need help. And she has a career. She's not the homebody, but she's trying to be the housewife and also do the career. And look where it ended up.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
It's terrible.
That's kind of like a different example, too. Like, they both had careers, and they weren't together early. You know what I mean? They both set out, had their careers, were both super successful. I would say Giselle's a little bit more successful than Tom.
Oh, yeah.
But she was a real breadwinner in that relationship. Like, she had the most money and everything, and that's fine and all. But what it was is, like, they both had careers. They both were super successful at their careers. But that took away from the home life. It took away from the family, the connection, the solidarity. It took away all those elements at home. And that's I'm not saying that's the reason why they split up in the end, but that could have been a big problem where, and just like you mentioned, Jim, is the fact that Giselle kept getting in Tom's ear and like, hey, is this your last year? Is this your last year? Well, you see what happened is there was growing tension there. And then for him to like all of a sudden, you know what? I think I'm going to play one more year. Mm-hmm. And it's almost funny how the timing worked. And then soon enough, they were both done. You know, they both broke it off. So I just think that this thing became way bigger than what it had to be, and we should have just left Harrison Butker. And I honestly hope that the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't think they will. I don't envision that they're going to do anything to the guy.
No.
Because you can't. It's a personal thing that he did, a personal speech. It had nothing to do or any affiliation with the NFL or the Chiefs. And that's funny because the NFL had to make a statement.
Yeah.
Recently, as of today, like they said, oh, in no way, shape, or form do we share the same ideas and beliefs as Harrison Butker. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, really?
Inclusion.
You really had to like make a statement. You didn't have to.
Right.
We all know. We've seen the speech. All the people that have watched it. If you haven't done so, go watch it. Because
watch the whole thing. It's very inspiring.
Yeah. It really is well thought out. And it's not meant to be negative. That's the whole thing, is that people are taking this as an absolute negative, male-dominated opinion. Like, no, this comes from a different place, a spiritual place. This comes from ideas that were handed down over, you know, hundreds of thousands of years as a family and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I just think that I encourage everyone to go check out. If you haven't seen the whole entire video, definitely do so. And I just think it just kind of got out of hand, and we just need to move past it.
Right. And one thing I think the NFL does love is right now jersey sales are through the roof for Harrison.
Harrison
in support. So
yeah.
He's actually surpassed right now. Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes for Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right.
So he's trending upwards for that. So the NFL, again, they're playing into the whole thing to try to pander to the masses to be like, oh, we don't condone any of this and blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, like, hey, buy his jersey, though, if you want to support them, you know. But on the other things, too, just a couple different points, and then we're done. Inspirational speech, listen to the whole thing. The little kind of witty jokes that he kind of throws out there, without saying his name, Joe Biden, the organization. The LGBTQ thing. He literally always said, he's like, I want you guys to also have pride in what you do. Same thing. He goes, not the type of pride that we celebrate a whole month about, but the pride in what you're doing and your family and your career. That's what he said. That's as far as it goes. So how is that bashing, you know, gays, lesbians, queers, whatever? I mean, how do you get that?
The media wanted a little piece of something to make it a big deal. That's really all it is. They're looking for any little tidbit and then change it to make it a big ordeal where everybody's going to blow up about it.
Right.
That's what it was.
Meanwhile, you got other guys, Colin Cowherd, who's still on the air, somehow, flat-out racist remarks when he worked for ESPN.
Right.
And now he's still on Fox, right? You know, things like that. Still going. Yeah. People forgot about that because it's not the big thing right now. If you said those even remarks, though, right now, we were talking about a while ago. This was pre, you know, 2020, you know, and all that stuff and Black Lives Matter. If he said that during Black Lives Matter, then he probably would be. He don't go on dog. You know, but people forget. He's back on a different, you know, airwaves, you know, somewhere else, a different station. And that'd be fine. And people forget about that. And they're not even trying to bring up. Who knows? Maybe at one point now they will. They're like, hey, you know what? 10 years ago, he said this. I mean, he's got to be gone. You know, and he's a flat-out racist. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. Yeah. But to end on the note with this, again, listen to the whole speech, because afterwards, even in closing, again, and he said things like this throughout the speech. He says, do hard things. Don't settle for easy. Do the small things well. Surround yourself with people who push you to be the best you can be. How is that hate speech? How is that disheartening to other people? He is preaching goodness and a good message through the whole thing, and just staying true to his core values, not telling women to stay home and be a housewife and cower to your man. None of that was ever witnessed and said at all. So if you're interpreting that says more about you out there, and you have got a bigger problem. And the fact that you want to try and have somebody lose their job over the whole thing. And I saw either one message, the fact that it was a guy, but it was a British guy too. You know, so I don't know how much football he actually watches. But he's saying, he's like, and I'm offended by this whole thing. And how dare he say that my kids aren't good enough to do this and to not achieve, you know, higher things that they want to. He said nothing like that in the speech. I know he actually said, achieve exactly all you want to.
And at the end of his comment,
the best thing for you, I think when it all comes down to it, brass tacks, this will make you happiest.
I think at the end of his comment, though, he said, I hope he, you know, kicks a three-pointer.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
You know what's funny is I actually saw an article from the Star, so you can't believe any of that shit. You know, it's not that stuff there, the Kansas Star. Asking him to be fired there too, but then also they want him to be fired and replaced by a girl kicker. They need to fire Harrison Butker and replace by a woman kicker. Which there are some good women kickers out there, but you can't just all of a sudden fire a guy and then hire a woman out of nowhere. You need to earn a spot. If she's better, she can earn it and be the kicker. Sure, why not? But there's a reason why even a lot of women kickers aren't in the NFL right now, because they haven't earned the spot. They've had other professional soccer players attempt field goals and things like that, and yes, they have done it in some of the college games and other smaller leagues. We'll see what happens there, but the fact that you want to kick Harrison Butker out of the league and instantly hire a woman because she's a woman, I think is ridiculous.
I'm all for the WNFL when it comes out.
Why not?
Do it.
Yeah, I don't care about even the league to themselves,
but
that's a whole other story for a lot of other different things.
We might have to cover that next week.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But, so there you go. That's all that. I hope we didn't get too political with everybody out there, you know, because whatever, you know what I mean? But this is football. This is an issue that's out there. This is the way it's kind of affecting the game, and the fact that the NFL won't even stick up for the player. But then other players out there are stepping up and stepping up for his teammate. Chris Jones supports Harrison Butker.
You have a lot of others. You have players, you have coaches, you have fans, you have more, just an overabundance of people that are supporting Harrison Butker through all this. You know what I mean? Like, listen, you know, this happens. It happens once in a while to whether it be a coach, even in big media. You know, like you just mentioned, Colin Cowherd, he said some crazy things in the past. And now, you know, he left ESPN, now he goes to Fox, everything's forgotten, and now he's just doing his thing on Fox Sports. So it's like, listen, if it doesn't directly affect you, like, by words I'm speaking, like, it shouldn't affect you. I guess what I'm trying to say is it should not affect you. If somebody is saying something, I'm just saying it. You know, it's just like, it's like us when we get into these heated battles about football topics and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, I'm not going to agree with everybody, and everybody's not going to agree with me. And I know that going into it. But if you truly believe something, you're going to speak up about it, right?
Yep.
And you should. And it's great that people have differing opinions and believe different things. But in the end, we all just still need to be there for each other instead of trying to be at each other's throats.
Right. And, you know, like I said, late night show hosts say a lot worse in their monologues.
That's because no one listens.
And directly call out people. So that's what I mean. But it's okay. Let's laugh about that. But Harrison Butker, he's, you know, a hater. So
anyways,
Joe, we're getting to some lighter stuff. How about this? So we decided to look at, it's not a lot going on. I mean, OTAs, voluntary OTAs have started. And this is the thing is too, you start hearing, well, this guy didn't show up in this, oh my God, what's going on?
Micah Parsons didn't show up, everybody. CeeDee Lamb didn't show up.
Again,
you know?
These are all top guys.
All these big names.
And like, they don't have to right now. You know, when it's mandatory, then it's a different story or something like that. Here's the, they're actually getting, you know,
here's the crazy part of it all, right? Is like, we deal with this every single year, guys. Like, people that have been following football, and even people that have started following football 3 years ago. Like, this happens every single year where the media jumps into it, like, oh my God, did you hear Rodgers is not showing up to OTAs? Unbelievable. Oh, wait, no. You know, Justin Jefferson, he decided that he's not, I didn't see him at practice. Oh my God. Like, who cares? These guys have earned the right. They've become veterans, and they're really good football players. They've earned the right because it's voluntary OTAs. It's voluntary practice. There's no demand. You don't have to be there. It's not a requirement. Like, if you want to be there, you can. But, hey, if I'm a vet, I've already proven myself to my team, to my coaches. You know what? I think I'm going to get a little bit extended vacation or at least relax or whatever until training camp or mandatory OTAs happen. That's when you got to be there. That's when you have to report.
Yeah.
But right now, relax. Fans, don't get sucked into this media hype about, like, oh, my God, this guy and that guy's not there. So what does that mean? It means nothing right now. It means nothing. So relax.
Oh, boy. All right. So then, with all that and stuff, we decided to come up with a topic on our own. So we decided to look at all the teams here, all 32 teams. That's right. And we are going to give you guys what we think
breakout
are our 2024 breakout players for all the teams out here. So take a look. Tell us who you guys think. Light up the comment section in there who you think will be a breakout player, whether it be for your team. You can do all teams if you want, or just, you know, players in general out there. So let's play along. Here we go. We're just going to go through the divisions. We'll start off with the AFC East right now, the Buffalo Bills. We have the Bills with tight end Dalton Kincaid. Joe, take it away.
Dalton Kincaid, like the one thing that I was kind of pleasantly surprised by him, like we all knew how good of a tight end he was coming out of Georgia, and then the Bills end up selecting him. And some people might have been like, not, they have Dawson Knox, right? Like, yeah, but Dalton Kincaid's a difference maker, like in terms of receiving ability. So Dalton Kincaid showed up in flashes, especially when Knox went down with an injury last year. He kind of rose to the occasion and kind of took over for Knicks until he returned. And then they kind of like, you know, shared the ball a little bit, you know, down the stretch. So I think that this year is where Dalton Kincaid kind of takes over that role. Not necessarily like in-line blocking, obviously, but this guy is such a receiving threat that he has to be out there. And, of course, there's no more Stephon Diggs. There's no more Gabe Davis. So, yeah, they added – now they're going to give a shot to Khalil Shakir, who's kind of been up and coming for them, but now he's a starter, you know, and they don't have those weapons like they once had a year ago. So now Dalton Kincaid's probably going to have to take a more prominent role. It's probably going to have to be that go-to guy, especially when Josh Allen may be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it there, too. Again, he's got a catch percent of 80%, Joe, and he lit it up even last year for, like you said, when Josh Allen needed him. But what helps out a quarterback the most? A good tight end right there. That's what they like. And without that target and Stephon Diggs, like you said, that would be a good one as well. Mm-hmm. I was also thinking, you cited his name right there, but Khalil Shakir, again, started to come on the scene for him really last year and get, 611 yards. Without Diggs being there, I can see his game being elevated and be, you know, and step out and be that receiver for him and be, again, a 1,000-yard receiver for them on that end for them. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good one as well. But Dalton Kincaid, absolutely, Joe. So let's move on to the Miami Dolphins, same with the AFC East. And Devon,
Devon Achane.
So I can see him again because he was explosive, Joe, and then he got banged up, injured, and stuff like that. And if he comes back
sometime,
and be that guy again, yes, very explosive player. That team is revolving around speed. Running back, Devon Achane, definitely.
Talk about revolving around speed. Like, the draft revolves around speed.
Everything.
Like, they drafted, like, the fastest DN prospect coming out in Chop Robinson. So I'm curious to see how that's all going to work out, you know, with Jalen Phillips returning and to have him on the other end. That could be a little, really exciting for Dolphins fans. But Devon Achane, like, gifted athlete. And a lot of – there was a little bit of hype coming out of the draft about this kid at running back for TCU that – man, is he quick, shifty, but, man, the speed to boot. Like, this dude is unreal. It's uncanny some of the movements that he's able to make in close quarters, out in the open. good luck. If you're just the only guy out there ready to tackle him, I mean, good luck to you, bro, because it's not going to happen. This guy is extremely tough to tackle, extremely tough to bring down. Very physical. Even though he's kind of short in stature, and he has all those moves, man, is he still strong, too. So you saw glimpses a year ago when he was on the football field where he was having 200-yard games. Like, he gathered 200 yards, 170 yards rushing, another, like, 30, 40 yards in the receiving game. Like, this guy was blowing up for the Dolphins, and I look for him to continue that success. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year, which is going to catapult him to a whole other level.
Yeah, Grubbix Media is in the house with us tonight. He actually, it's the mothership. There they are. And they said, what the hell did you two eat this morning? On fire with big tin of anger. Get them. I'm just fired up. It was something passionate I had to talk about. You know, it was just eating me up for days, and I just had to let it all out. But it's also my Raise Energy, which you can also use our promo code. Raise them up if you guys want to go to repsports.com. That's our personal promo code with Joe and I. That's right. You can save yourself some cash there. And that's what's got me fired up, Joe. I always drink the Raise right there, and it gets me fired up. It's good, clean hydration, energy, no dyes, electrolytes, everything you possibly need in a sports drink. And then also we have Back to the Stone Age.
Oh, hey.
Us again. Here we
go. What's going on? Welcome to the show, bro. What does he got to say?
He says, yo, fellas, Kincaid set up for a huge breakout 2024, but I got that frail build. So, again, he does not believe in a chain, and he thinks he might be banged up again. Who knows?
Frail again. He might have a frail build, but here's the thing. This is his second season. You know he's been working out. You know he's been trying to build up muscle and build up that size. So I think without getting too much into, like, getting too heavy to, like, take away from that quickness that he has, I think he'll be good. Like, he's one of those players that you just can't leave on the sidelines. He's way too gifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So let's move on to the New England Patriots. And we have, of course, Christian Gonzalez here. I mean, that's got to be the guy, too, because we've been anticipating for this guy to be out there and playing. I'm excited to see him out there, see what he can do with the Patriots. Joe, yeah, I think this is his breakout season here.
Well, it's got to be because the guy didn't even have any.
No.
He looked last season, got injured early, and he was done. But we did get to see, like, you know, spurts of that highlight caliber, you know, defensive back, you know, plays that he could create, that he could make. And Christian Gonzalez, he had a lot of grief coming out of the draft. He slid down the first round farther than people anticipated. Some people kind of questioned his physicality. They questioned his strength. They questioned, you know, maybe is he a little too stiff because he's kind of tall. Like, there was all these question marks, but the Patriots didn't have those question marks. They were glad to take him. And when he got there in New England, you just saw the games that he was able to play that he definitely absorbed the information on defense and understood and knew his role and made some great plays. Before the injury, this guy was starting to ascend last year. So I look for him to kind of continue that success into the upcoming season and watch him just kind of take off and become another shutdown corner for the New England defense.
All right, next thing, finally here with the AFC East for the Jets, defensive end Jermaine Johnson, Joe.
Yeah, Jermaine Johnson, he's been a disappointment, let's face it, because of a lot of injuries. You know, he got drafted in the first round and in the 20s area, and people really thought coming out of Florida State, this guy was going to be just a pure pass rusher for the Jets, was going to scream off the edge and create a lot of chaos in the backfield, and it hasn't happened yet. A little bit of acclimating to the next level has been an issue. Some different pass rushing techniques that he hasn't necessarily filed in and ironed out. But coming into now his third year, you hope and expect that this guy is going to put it all together now with the coaching, get healthier. Obviously, he's had plenty of time to do so. Now it's time to, like, put the product on the field. It's time to produce for the organization that drafted you in the first round. And this is make or break year for you, Jermaine. You have to show up and show out. You have to be able to get to the quarterback. I hope and expect him to have at least 8 sacks this year. If he doesn't hit that quota for me, then I think the Jets are going to be looking for his replacement. because you can't just hang around and not show any promise. So Jermaine Johnson, I hope that he breaks out this year for the Jets. One of the names that maybe people have forgotten because of all the injuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even last year, moving off the linebacker, the completion percentage against him was only 40%, and he ended up having 7.5 sacks. So again, you're expecting 8. That would be an uptick, but again, I'm thinking 10. You know, if you can hit 10, then you're showing that you're there and you're on that breakout.
Yeah, he's an edge guy. Like, he's just coming off the edge. They do that 3-4 scheme sometimes where it kind of helps free him up. So that number should definitely be higher.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's move on to the AFC. Was that North? The AFC North, right? Here we got the Ravens here, linebacker Trenton Simpson, Joe.
Yeah, Trenton Simpson, you know, a year ago was drafted. Hasn't had the opportunity because he wasn't ready yet. He was coming off an injury out of the draft. He needed to get healthier and get ready for his time to shine. It is this season. This season he takes a step into the starting lineup. Trenton Simpson, a lot of people know him from last year, from a couple years draft, that he was very fluid, very athletic, is fast, sideline to sideline type of linebacker, and a guy that can pay huge dividends in the pass coverage game. So I look for him to kind of upgrade his run-duffing game, and I think this is where he's going to explode off the page here. Trenton Simpson out of Clemson, very exciting prospect. You know, you see that linebacking core kind of changing a little bit here and there. You know, Patrick Queen moved on, went to the Steelers. Here comes Trenton Simpson. They already had the guy ready to replace him. So hopefully, you know, now that he's had plenty of time to groom himself and get ready for this opportunity, it's here. Now Trenton, take it.
Yeah, like you said, not really started any of the games, but now here to step up and really show what he can do here and have that breakout season, a true breakout. I agree with you on that one, too, as well. Moving on to the Bengals here. Now, wide receiver Trenton Irwin.
Yeah, not many people know this guy unless you're a Bengals fan, but this guy kind of was – he was like kind of like hit or miss last season. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't get a ton of playing time, but the little bit that he did, he ended up getting wide open somehow. Yeah. Like, people forgot about him. Who's the kid with the long hair running around like he just don't care and then catching a touchdown? Like, this guy, Trenton Irwin, is kind of like an exciting prospect who's kind of came out of nowhere for the Bengals. He's slowly worked his way up the depth chart. Now he's sitting as the starting slot receiver and looking to take on a big-time breakout year for him. Because you look at Jamar Chase. We don't even know what's going to go on with T. Higgins at all. That situation is really bad right now. T. Higgins doesn't even want to talk to Cincinnati. He doesn't want to sign that tag. And if he doesn't sign the tag, he's not playing. And that, who knows what's going to happen there? Are they going to move on from Higgins? If they do, then Irwin looks to take an even bigger jump. If they don't, I still expect this guy to have a breakout year, because now you're going to have confidence from Joe Burrow, who's been working with Trenton Irwin from last year into this year in the upcoming training camp that they're going to have to establish even better chemistry. And then you have Jamar Chase, and then here comes Irwin with another big year for them. So this is a guy that maybe isn't a household name yet, but could turn out to be this upcoming season.
Yeah, a guy, again, like you said, people don't really know so much, get a little more involved, doesn't drop the ball a lot, and the yards after catch are big for him as well. So definitely.
Yeah, because they're too busy double-teaming Jamar.
Yeah, exactly, right? And that'll only get bigger now after we figure out what's going on with the Higgins situation. Next up here with the Browns, it's got to be quarterback Deshaun Watson, because now the table is set. You know, Deshaun, here you go. It's time to take the team to what you were paid to do, to the new heights. You've got the defense that are there. Mm-hmm. You've got plenty enough players here, and they even stacked up that running back group along with Nick Chubb coming back from injury. So, I mean, you have everything there. It's time for you to be the guy you're meant to be there. So, like you said, breakout year for him, it's got to be at this point.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, we put him on this list, because it's kind of like it's time to show up. It's been too long. Like, I get it. Injuries happen. They do. But there comes a point in time where organization starts to lose hope, starts to lose confidence in a player. And if this guy gets injured yet again this year, then I think that's where, you know, they've reached the wit's end here with the quarterback. That gigantic trade that they gave just to obtain Deshaun Watson's rights. the huge contract they gave this guy. Like, I understand they don't have an answer after Watson yet, but they might be looking really soon if that happens, where they're really underwhelmed and they're like, okay, well, we did what we could. We thought he was going to be the guy that we saw in Houston, and he hasn't gotten there yet, so we should probably start looking for the future QB this upcoming draft. So Watson needs to get it together, needs to stay healthy is number one. You got to be out there on the field. The best ability is availability. You have to be out there. So Deshaun Watson, and you have no excuses for weapons. You got a ton of weapons. You have a good offensive line in front of you. You have Nick Chubb returning healthy in the backfield. So teams are going to kind of be wondering, what's happening? Are they going to hand it off? Is Watson going to fake it to him and then run himself? Is he going to throw it? There's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be a lot of creative plays with Kevin Stefanski and his offense that they can attack defense. David Njoku, another player that had a breakout year last year, finally was very productive and one of the favorite targets. Watson needs to hit him up. He needs to hit newly acquired Jerry Jeudy up, because that's another big acquisition that they have. There's no question now. You can't say, oh, well, he doesn't have quite enough weapons, or, well, the protection isn't there, or, well, they don't have Chubb. There's no excuses now. You have everybody at your disposal. Deshaun Watson, here's the ball. Take it and run with it.
Exactly, Joey. I mean, I can't say anything else. That's exactly what it's got to be for him. All right, so then moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The nose tackle, Keanu Benton here, Joe. Now, some people are probably like, nose tackle, how do you see him being a breakout player?
Well, you look at the Steelers and what they've been able to do building, they have to rebuild this defense from the inside out. And that's something that's kind of been overlooked, especially the D-line has been getting very old. They're much older. Guys have been leaving, going to other teams. You know, Casey Hayward still remaining there. He's going to be there at the D-end spot. They do a 3-4 type of defense, which is traditional for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I got to tell you, Keanu Benton, this is his second year as a Steeler. I think he's going to be full-fledged starter this year at the nose tackle position. A young kid who, coming out of Wisconsin, a lot of people didn't really talk about a lot. But, man, this kid built like a house. This guy is not only super strong, has that athletic ability that you wouldn't really anticipate him having, and knows how to play the game. So I think this guy alone is going to do huge things for the Steelers up front, stopping running plays up the middle, creating chaos, creating pressure when deemed so. So this kid is going to be, I think, going to have one of the best years for a D-tackle for the Steelers in the 3-4 scheme that you don't typically see a lot happening. Mm-hmm. This guy is going to be a disruptor for them. That's why I got him in here. Young stud, who I think is going to be great for them for the future years.
All right, yeah, moving on now, we've got the Houston Texans, and we've got cornerback Derek Stingley Jr., and a lot of people also say, hey, let's look at the Texans, and look at all the offensive weapons they have. Mm-hmm. They add a lot of defensive players, too, but Derek Stingley, they were drafted by them when old man was there, getting it done. What do you expect of him this year?
Derek is an interesting prospect because – even in the draft, he slid way down in the first round because he was already injured. Mm-hmm. Very gifted, talented corner, was seen by almost everybody throughout the league as a shutdown corner. And nobody drafted him high because of that injury. So Texans took a shot. They drafted him. And he's done a tremendous job at that cornerback position. When he's healthy, when he's out there, of course, he's been locked down. I mean, there really hasn't been too many things that offenses have been able to do against Derek Stingley. He has one of the lowest completion percentages for a corner. He's had tons of pass defense. This guy is electric out there on an island by himself. So Derek Stingley Jr., the only problem, though, is even though he sounds great, he's not on the field all the time. This guy keeps getting injured. It seems like every single year since he's been there. I'm hoping that this year he kind of gets himself right, keeps his body, healthy and long-term, keep working out, dieting and all that. And I know that they're working on that behind closed doors, but this is kind of like a promising year for Stingley where he can put it all together and really have his breakout year that he deserved 2 years ago.
Right. When you talk about it, like you said, two different seasons here combined, only 20 games playing. Last year was his best with the only 47.9% completion percentage, holding players to only 6 yards per catch. So, again, just continue to stay healthy, and those numbers are there. And that's what you say sometimes with some of these players. They're good, but then when you don't see them, you're not helping your team, so you're not even being there. So they need to stay on the field and be there, and we expect that this season for him. And to add on to a tough defense that they have in that offense, too, as well, Houston looks very scary this season coming up.
Yeah, they just got better, too.
Oh, I know. It's nuts. All right, so next here we got the Colts and defensive end Samson Ebukam. We love Ebukam, man.
Yeah, this dude, like, I feel like this is going to be the year. You know, he was with the 49ers originally, and you saw him kind of like, wow, who's this dude on the end? Like, he's just kind of like screaming off the edge, getting after the quarterbacks, getting these sacks. Every once in a while when he was out there, like he was on a rotation, you know, with San Fran. Now he comes to the Indianapolis Colts. They tag-team him with Quiddy Pay on the other end. And Quiddy Pay is like, finally, I got someone that I can rely on the other end. You know, that a guy that's just kind of like, just like me, fast, twee, explosive, coming off the edge, getting after these guys in the backfield in like 2 seconds. Like, this dude is amazing. Very gifted athlete. D end who I expect to have a breakout year, especially with the D line that he's going to be working with. The Colts have one of the best D lines in football, and I know not a lot of people kind of assimilate that, but it's true. Quiddy Pay is definitely a tenacious type of pass rusher, and now you bring in Samson. And this guy is going to be the same thing on the other end. And, oh, yeah, the middle, yeah, don't worry. That's locked down, too. So I expect with all that being said there, with that solid D-line up and down the line, that Samson is going to reap the benefits this year as a Colt.
Yeah, and like you said, if it wasn't for Quiddy Pay there, you know, and that's why he gets overlooked. Last year with the Colts, 9.5 sacks, and silently, with a lot of people were looking at the Colts and having somebody like that on that defense.
I think I'm expecting him to have 13 or 14 sacks.
Right, and I was going to say, because even if anything, you get to look at last year as his breakout year, because again, you're with those tough defense. He was with the Rams too as well. That's where he started out his career. And I remember him back in then too. And you had, you know, Aaron Donald with that team that had a lot of good defensive players with it. And when you have that much talent, you kind of get overlooked again. You're kind of a nice side piece for everybody. Same thing with San Francisco with that defense. So many good players, you don't know where it's coming from. So you're kind of splitting with all those great players on those sacks. Being able to be there with the Colts, with Quiddy Pay right there, getting 9.5 sacks, like you said, that could possibly be his breakout year, but maybe it's just the beginning.
Yes.
So maybe it's just the beginning.
Real quick, you talked about the Niners. Their D-line, though, I'm a little concerned about. You know, they got Malik Collins started at the tackle now. And guess what? Where Chase Young used to be, it got Leonard Floyd. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that D-line to me changed too much. I don't see them being as impactful. Obviously, Nick Bosa will be. But it's a little concerning if you're a Niners fan.
All right, here we go. Now we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's the wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., first rookie out there you expect to be the breakout player.
Yeah, I was looking at the roster and everything. And obviously, you know, Christian Kirk is looking to have a comeback year because last year it was kind of ended a little bit early for him. And he's expecting to come back and be the guy. Well, you got some more horses in the corral now, bud. Guys that Trevor Lawrence is going to definitely create some chemistry with, definitely going to be able to utilize. Look at Gabe Davis. He went to Jacksonville. So there's their other receiver opposite Christian Kirk. And then here comes rookie Brian Thomas Jr., who honestly I had as one of my top three receivers coming out in the draft. Yes, does he have some things to work on? Of course, just like any receiver does. But Brian Thomas Jr., his athletic ability is through the roof. If they can manage to get him to run better routes at the next level, going through training camp, working with the coaches, working with other receivers around him, the vets, helping him out, I think this kid's going to have a breakout year in his rookie year. He's that gifted that he could definitely take over as the number one wide receiver and say, hey, look, I've arrived. Mom, you proud of me?
Right. That could be it. Because, again, I was looking at this team, too, and I thought even maybe Gabe Davis, again, because you have your opportunity walking away from the Buffalo Bills here, joining them and be that number one for them, possibly, you know, on the other side. With
Gabe,
you know,
Davis is a different.
We'll see, because, again, on average, you know, lately he's been up and coming. Now he's he's creeping on that 1,000-yard mark, Joe. Mm-hmm. He's around that 800 yards or so yet. So to see him kind of on his own, in a sense, I guess, with his other receiving core, it'd be interesting. Unless people do, again, play those guys, Kirk, Davis, and then again, Brian Thomas able to be open and be that kind of target guy for Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, you right now, you would even say Trevor Lawrence, you know, would almost, if you look at it in the Deshaun Watson kind of point of view, talks, it's got to be Trevor Lawrence to have a breakout year, too. Having the injuries that he had lately, too, especially last season, play up to par like he did two seasons ago and make it to the playoffs, that'd be big for him here with the weapons that he has now.
All Lawrence has to do is not make mistakes.
Because it's on a contract year, too, where they're talking about that.
He has to limit mistakes is really what it comes down to. I don't foresee him becoming this great breakout player. He's got a lot of weapons where it could happen, but I don't think he's going to be like the major reason why. And that's the biggest problem is for Jacksonville is that's the problem. He hasn't been the major reason why they win games. He hasn't been, but he's been the reason why sometimes they lose games. So that can't happen anymore. So Trevor does have to get better. He does have to correct himself because Jacksonville's ready, willing, and able to sign to a long-term extension. But if he doesn't give them enough confidence, especially this year, that pen might dry out a little bit.
There you go. I like that. The pen might dry out a bit. I like it. All right, so here last up with the AFC South here, the Titans quarterback Will Levis. And Joe and I are all totally excited about this. Well, Will Levis, exactly. We got to see a little bit of a taste last season with Will Levis. Joe, what do we got on Will Levis?
Yeah, the quarterback that looks like Hulk under a helmet, right. Will Levis. Hopefully they've made him temper down a little bit on the working out at the gym. And instead, just concentrating on reading defenses and learning the playbook. So new regime in Tennessee. So the offense is going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be so run heavy, which I think is going to play really well with the weapons that they have at their disposal. Tyler Boyd ended up going to the Tennessee Titans, adding another weapon for Will Levis. DeAndre Hopkins is still there. And the receiver that was a Jacksonville Jaguar now over there, I'm forgetting his name right now, but starts with a C. Mm-hmm. But now having him in that rotation. Calvin Ridley. Now you have a very solid receiving core for the first time in what feels like Tennessee history. They finally don't have one or maybe one and a half. Now they have a full squad. And oh, by the way, don't forget, Treylon Burks is still there, guys. He is, but now he's the fourth receiver. So now you have tremendous depth, a guy that in Burks definitely needs to stay healthy to kind of help produce for them. But Will Levis, I'm excited about this kid out of Kentucky, cannon for an arm, great mobility. You saw him being able to make ridiculous throws last year, and now I'm really excited for him to take that next big step. And by doing so, that he's going to light this offense up. Like, and you look at the fact that they were also able to grab Tony Pollard in the backfield,
right,
to team him up with Tyjae Spears, another really electric scat back type of jitterbug type of back. Man, this offense looks really exciting. I know Titans fans got to be excited for this upcoming season to go also with their revamped defense. So Will Levis, I'm very excited to watch. I want to see this kid grow. I want to see him get better. But I can't say enough. I'm really, really excited for Will Levis. I think this will be his breakout year.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, you said, being able to play the whole season, you have the weapons there. Brian Callahan as your head coach, mm-hmm, now, offensive-minded coach, see what he did with the Bengals, things like that. You got Tyler Boyd there, too, to help preach the system.
Creative, yep.
And there you go. Just limit the turnovers that he had last year. Sky's the limit. I think it's great right here in the breakout year for Will Levis. All right, next we've got for the AFC West, the Broncos running back Javonte Williams.
Yeah, I was looking at this team, and I'm like, is there any receivers that are kind of under the radar? I'm like, yeah, there are, but you think about Tim Patrick, you know, but he's always injured every year, always blows his ACL out. So I'm just like, I don't know, like Marvin Mims, I don't know. I don't really think he's going to be that much of an impact, honestly, because he's been there, you know, and still hasn't been able to get. And Cortland Sutton, who knows what's happened with that guy? That guy is ready to walk out of the locker room. You know, he doesn't even want to be there in Denver. He wants out. He wants to be traded. He wants to go somewhere because the writing's on the wall now. Like, oh, look, we hit the restart button, and now we got a rookie quarterback. I'm not down with that. I'm a vet. I want to win. Mm-hmm. So you got all that happening. The offensive line still a little shaky on the left side of it. It's much stronger on the right side. And then when I was trying to figure out a player, I'm just like, man, I'm looking up and down the depth chart. I'm like, oh, defense, they got a couple of nice linebackers. Maybe you could break out years for them. You know, you're not going to go the obvious route and say Patrick Surtain because everyone knows who he is. So I kind of went with the running back there and Javonte Williams, which because honestly, he should have a breakout year because you have a rookie quarterback there where you're going to tend to rely a little bit more on the run game to kind of sustain drives, to keep it going, take some pressure off the rookie quarterback. And because we all expect Bo Nix to be the starter, that Javonte is going to be his best friend. Here, give me a first down. Here, give me some yardage because I need some breathing room, you know. So I think he's going to be the focal point of this offense to kind of – whether they do well or not so well, it's going to run through the running back position.
Yeah, like, again, a good running back definitely helps out with the quarterback situation on there. And we'll see. I'm excited to see what happens with that quarterback room and how Bo Nix
– apparently, Jarrett Stidham and Bo Nix, it's a honest competition. Mm. I don't think it is.
We don't like a dishonest competition, but Joe.
All I'm saying, like an honest all I'm saying is that it's definitely Bo Nix.
Oh boy.
You don't take a quarterback 12th overall and don't start.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, so let's go with the Kansas City Chiefs now, Joe. And we've got defensive end George Karlaftis again. Yeah. But again, you talk about with that defense and how they've played, especially in the playoffs. This guy's name comes up a lot in the playoffs, making some big plays for them.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is like he really hit home in the playoffs. You saw him took another step up, another level of his game. It's like it's almost like the NFL clicked, and he was like, I'm unstoppable. Watch this. Mm-hmm. You know, so George Karlaftis, I was a huge fan of him coming out of the draft, and I was very sad to see the Chiefs take him. But George Karlaftis is just a gifted player. He's not just this, you know, he's not like what a lot of people do like in a pass rusher where he's just super fast and just kind of beats guys with his speed. This guy is like a combination of everything. He's got power. He's got hand placement, technique. You know, he does have great pass rush moves. He's tenacious. He has the quickness, the speed for his size and all that. And he's got smarts. Like, this dude has been put together well with the Kansas City Chiefs coaching staff and for his hard working efforts in the offseason has all paid off. So George Karlaftis is going to reap the rewards this upcoming season being their breakout player.
Yeah, I agree with you there too as well, Joe. Again, 10.5 sacks last season. So again, trending upwards 15. Already, right? Was it?
He's gonna have 15.
Oh, this year you're gonna say he's gonna have 15. He's gonna have 10.5 last year. Previous season 6. So being more involved, and again, one of those guys when you think Kansas City Chiefs defense, a lot of people want to point at Chris Jones, but this guy secretly doing stuff, 10.5 sacks. He's right there, big player for them.
This guy's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so moving on to your Raiders, the Malcolm Cole. All right, so what do you got? What do you got with this one?
So here's the funny thing. Everyone's talking about, you know, Crosby being healthy. He's going to come back. He's going to wreak havoc. Everybody knows that. We all know that he's one of the best DNs in the league. We know that. And then everyone's like, oh, well, wait. They also got that rookie from last year, you know, Tyree Wilson. How's he doing? He's 100% healthy. He's looking nasty in off-season workouts and practices and everything, really showing that he put the work in. That's all well and good. But no one's talking about my man Malcolm Kuntz, who had double-digit sacks last year, who literally took over games as they went down late into the season. It wasn't just Crosby. This dude Kuntz was making things happen. And by the way, this is a contract year for Malcolm. This is where he's going to put it all together. He's not only going to have double-digit sacks, but I expect with all these talented defensive linemen that they're able to put together with Christian Wilkins now there at D-tackle as well, like, it's untapped. Who knows what this guy could do? Could he out-sack Crosby? It's possible. Crosby gets all the attention. So now Kuntz, if he's able to take that game and keep stepping up a higher, 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 Kuntz now might be the guy that's going to lead the team in sacks this year. And that's kind of what I expect, is because all the attention is going to go to Crosby's side and Wilkins. And, oh, everyone forgot about Coons. Guess what? You'll remember him at the end of the year.
There you go. Stamp it. All right, next we've got, for the Chargers, running back J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins finding a new home there with the Chargers. And, again, you don't have, you know, that running back that they had before here, too. That was a big part
of
Austin Ekeler. That was a big part of this offense here. J.K. Dobbins out of Baltimore, coming here, trying to make a name for himself with the Chargers. So expect something big here for him.
Yeah, the Ravens fans are going to be like, are you kidding me? There's no freaking way this guy's going to do anything. Listen, the little bit of time he was able to play with Baltimore, right? Like, he did string a few games together before that ACL went out again. And that's been the only problem with him. It's not his talent level. It's been the injuries that have always happened. Maybe it's a new environment thing. Maybe it's different trainers and how they're going to work his body out and everything, that maybe he's going to be able to adapt extremely well on the West Coast and stay healthy for once. And if he does so, J.K. Dobbins was a very gifted talent when the Baltimore Ravens drafted him. I think he definitely still has that talent, and he's still super young. So it's kind of hard to give up on the guy because of his youth. But here, this is his last chance to prove something. This is it. Like, if he gets another ACL tear and is done for yet another year, I don't think any team's going to touch him then. I mean, regardless if he's 26 or not, like, they're just, nah, he's bad goods. So J.K. Dobbins has got to prove to everybody that, one, he can stay healthy, and two, he's got to deliver what he started to in Baltimore. So the Chargers, they are going to give him ample opportunity to do so, because with this offense that they're putting in, Greg Roman, coming over from Baltimore, former offensive coordinator for them, loves to run the ball, as you all know, especially Ravens fans up there. Love it. So they crave it. They are definitely going to give him a ton of opportunity to make the league know that, hey, I'm not done yet. So J.K. Dobbins is my guy that's going to break out here for the Chargers.
All right, Joe, before we get into the NFC side of the ball, why don't you tell everybody where we can get, where they can see more videos like ours, or even past videos of ours.
Real soon. Also, go to grumblingsmedia.com, or you can go to rumble.com. Listen, Grumblings Media is the one-stop place that you need to go for all of your podcasts. They got everything from political, entertainment, sports, everything. So make sure you head over there, go to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, drop a comment down below, say hey, hello, you know, don't be a stranger. You drop the comments down below, we're going to react to it, especially on our show, because that's what this is all about. We are the best interactive talk show out there, so let's make it happen, guys. Blitz Nation, wake up. Also, you can get us anywhere, follow us anywhere, anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, you name it. That's grumblingsmedia.com. Check us out and check all of our other great podcasts.
All right. Well done, Joe. Well done. Absolutely. All right. So next, we are talking about the 2024 breakout players of this upcoming season here, Joe. We talked about the AFC so far. Now let's get into it. The NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah, Jalen Tolbert, you know, he didn't do so hot last year. And that probably was because he was limited on reps, got hurt, wasn't able to participate that much. But this could be his coming out year. This could be the year that the Cowboys have a lot of faith in this kid. They are pretty excited of what he could become for them, especially with all this uncertainty about, you know, maybe future contract for CeeDee Lamb or, you know, Brandon Cooks. Does he stay healthy? You know, because he's up there in age too, where, like, if he goes down, now, you know, you might have to lean on Tolbert even more. Yes, Tolbert's still a starter, but that Cooks connection with Dak Prescott is ridiculous right now. So Jalen Tolbert looks to be a bigger part of the offense this year. So got to stay healthy, one, and that's kind of the moral for a lot of these guys on the list. But Jalen Tolbert could have a tremendous year that nobody kind of foresaw happening. Maybe some Dallas fans are excited about him and what he's able to accomplish. But I'm telling you, Tolbert might be a name that you might want to keep tabs on.
Yeah, like you said, that little sleeper pick, and now with Michael Gallup gone, it's a perfect spot here for him to move up, and Jalen Tolbert we're looking at here for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Next, let's talk about my New York Football Giants. Wide receiver Malik Nabers. Joe, yes, absolutely. Because we've seen something like this, too. When Eli Manning was down, didn't have a lot of weapons here, the Giants go out and drafted Odell Beckham Jr., and Odell lit it up that year of the league. He was his breakout season right away, coming off of, you know, that early on hamstring injury and lighten it up. And Malik Nabers has that type of talent here, too, on top of it. So, absolutely, this is something that they've needed for a long time.
And this has nothing to do with the fact that he's won a wide receiver from LSU.
LSU.
was drafted in with their first pick. Like, this has nothing to do with that. Malik Nabers, though, is a very gifted athlete. Some people argue the fact that Malik Nabers was the number one wide receiver coming out over Marvin Harrison Jr. So there was that debate as we got closer to the draft, and I get it. I do get it. Nabers is definitely one of the most explosive receivers on the football field. And you know what? What's really funny is the fact that even though they both come from the same college of LSU, Ja'Marr Chase and Nabers mimic each other really closely and similarly. So that's kind of like the type of receiver I'm expecting out of Nabers at the next level is more like that proven Ja'Marr Chase-ish type of receiver in his first year. Where Daniel Jones, I know he's taking a lot of heat right now. Giants are probably not too excited about his stance moving forward. But maybe, just maybe, if he can establish that great connection with Malik Nabers, he found himself a new best friend and is going to rack up stats with Malik.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I can see that there. It's something that they definitely need.
And it also goes with the fact that their offensive line is also upgraded. So it's going to give Daniel Jones more time to be able to find Malik Nabers or maybe even someone else to kind of distribute the football.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All hand in hand, everyone. All hand in hand.
Absolutely. So let us know, too, in the comments. If you're agreeing with us, right? If you guys are silent out there, let us know if you think we're out of the, preposterous or whatever. You will see what you guys think. Let us know in the comments too, and what you think. Who's gonna have a breakout year? Eagles defensive end Bryce Huff.
Yeah, I love this dude. He comes from the New York Jets. Was out there. Eagles were able to obtain his services, and they needed to, right? Like, they just seem to fill holes, whether it be a trade, a free agency signing, or in the draft. It's ridiculous what Howie Roseman, the GM for the Eagles, has been able to do with this roster. Adding another premier talent like Bryce Huff at the end is no exception. This dude is an animal, had double-digit sacks last year for the Jets. Now he's going to come over to a D-line. Not saying anything else. Jets had a great D-line. But now you're coming over to a D-line where you have two behemoths at D-tackle that are going to take up maybe four freaking dudes, three dudes at a time, to the point where it's going to free up Bryce Huff even more. So he could even be more dangerous this year with the Philadelphia Eagles and how that defense kind of got retooled and revamped for this upcoming season. Adding a lot of former players that used to be there and when they had a very successful defense to now adding a premier talent like Bryce Huff. This dude is going to have a great year.
Like you said, yeah, just at the right time on the come up. He's got 10 sacks last season. So, yeah, expect big things of this kid here with the Eagles defense again, which isn't, getting any easier for some of these teams. And like I said, unfortunately for me, I'm a Giants fan, and I have to see them twice a year. So, not fun. All right, next let's talk about the Washington Commanders here. Dorrance Armstrong here, the defensive end for the Commanders.
Yeah, Dorrance, He got his money, and he deserves it because he was a backup for the Dallas Cowboys at the DN spot, which I'm kind of a little perplexed a little bit why Dallas didn't try to keep him, knowing that Dexter Lawrence is not up to par. He's not producing anymore. Dorrance Armstrong was kind of up and coming, so not really sure what the deal is with there, but the Commanders end up getting a really good talent, a guy that's kind of ascending as of last year in the rotation, was getting after the quarterback, was stopping the run, was doing everything extremely well. Now the Commanders have him to where, and they definitely needed him too after trading away Chase Young, after trading away Montez Sweat last season. So now they're filling those holes with a good up-and-coming type of young player. So Dorrance Armstrong, I'm not expecting him anything crazy, but I definitely expect him to be a consistent contributor in the backfield.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the team of Washington Commanders, too, can you really expect anything crazy for this team either, too? I mean, starting fresh and new, Cliff Kingsbury there with those guys. So we'll see what happens here. But, again, one of those players on that tough defense of the Dallas Cowboys doing his part again. 8.5 sacks prior to last year, 7.5 last year, 5. You know, just consistently doing some stuff here, mixing it in with there, and now getting a chance to shine here with this defense. I think he could step up big for them.
Definitely.
Yeah, moving on next to the next division, we got the Chicago Bears and tight end Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
Waiting for a breakout year with this guy.
Yeah, you know, and it's, especially fantasy owners. It's been like the last 3 years, people are like, oh, pick him. And then he doesn't do anything. But I'm here to tell you guys, count on him this year. Because Caleb Williams is the rookie quarterback. And I'll tell you this right now, and this goes for any rookie quarterback. Usually, guys that they kind of, you know, pay more attention to, throw the ball more to, get the ball to them, is more like, you know, their tight ends. It's more like the running backs out of the backfield. And that's kind of like their security blanket, you know, in their first year. They're still trying to get their bearings. They're still trying to learn a lot of verbiage. And the offensive playbooks are ridiculous. The way you have to call a play in between the play clock and all that is insane. So there's a lot. It's almost like overbearing. Like you very, very few can handle it. But I gotta say, Caleb Williams coming from a one read system, this is going to be very eye opening for him. And I think that Cole Kmet is going to benefit because of it. Definitely Cole Kmet. I see him getting a lot of opportunities, especially when he's feels pressure, he's going to be able to dump it off to Cole, or even if it's a called play for him, he's going to know right where to go with it. So I think Cole Kmet, this is the year where he has a breakout.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I think so too. Again, and his numbers, again, slowly started to get up there. And, again, accurate receiver there too. Again, a catching percentage at 81%. Looking to get involved with this type of offense, I think it's going to fit him well.
Yeah.
On top of that, and then the you know, see what happens with Caleb Williams. Again, see how consistent of a quarterback that is, situation for them. The only thing I do look at is the amount of talent that's on here. We'll see. Again, we could see that type of tandem. Like when we talk about a lot of people drawing their comparisons with Caleb Williams and Patrick Mahomes-esque type of play, dishing it to that tight end there in the middle of that field, you know, when he's even threatening to run, I think would be pay dividends here and then be big for Cole Kmet.
Yeah, and Cole, big, huge body of a tight end, you know, easy target. It makes all the sense in the world. And I know people are what they're going to think. They're like, wait, why Cole? Why not Roma Dunze, who just got drafted with Cole, with Cable? Or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why not the newly acquired Keenan Allen? You know, why wouldn't he get? Because here's the thing, is all the attention is going to go to those wide receivers, where Cole's going to be able to have kind of like pretty easy, you know, open throws to him. So that's why I got Cole there.
All right. Next for the Detroit Lions, we have Jameson Williams. Breakout year, Joe.
Yeah, definitely breakout year. A guy that's kind of – it's been a long road for Jameson since he's been drafted. As soon as he got drafted, wasn't able to play that year, his rookie year, didn't play at all. Then got hurt again, wasn't able to play last year. And now we're coming into – and as of late last season, he wasn't even in the lineup routinely. And then late last season, they started throwing him in there here and there, and he started making some big plays, big catches. For scores, for first downs. Now it's come full circle. Now it's like, okay, it's time to take the training wheels off of Jameson. Very fast athlete, very gifted of a wide receiver, can make all the catches, has made some tremendous difficult catches, contested catches. And I expect this dude to kind of finally break out of his mold for the Detroit Lions and a nice team right there with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just signed a big deal. And now you have Jameson Williams, who where all that attention, Amon-Ra, everyone pays attention to him now because they know how dynamic he is. They're going to try to double team him, and now here comes Jameson. You can see a guy who has that talent. It's right there on the cusp. Now it's time to unleash it. Unleash the fury, Mitch.
Right.
Unleash the fury.
Yeah, and especially with the way this team likes to use him on some jet sweeps too and running and getting some rushing touchdowns on top of it. I mean, you could see him in different aspects, and that's big for fantasy players too as well.
Yeah, I thought it would be too easy if I said Sam LaPorta.
Yeah, I know, right? We know, again, a lot of those guys like those guys and those tight ends. So. All right, so let's move on to the Packers here, and wide receiver Jaden Reed, again, oh, man, he kind of came up on the scene there last year, too, and been a big target here for Love, and, yeah, I expect big things out of this guy this season as well, Joe.
Yeah, and that whole receiving core went through a tumultuous, injury-ridden season. Like, Watson was always hurt. Jaden Reed was hurt here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, everybody was. So it's like, and it, they were down to like their fourth and fifth rotating receiver, Dontarius Wicks, who kind of exploded onto the scene late last season. So it's like, you got him in rotation too. But I picked Jaden Reed for a couple of reasons, because Jaden Reed has tremendous chemistry with Jordan Love. And you saw him on how much he targeted Reed a lot, especially for first downs, for just like kind of short to intermediate yardage, not necessarily, you know, taking the top off of the defense. He has done that, but man, this guy seems to get a lot of catches underneath and then yak after the catch, like amazing. So good player, solid too, very strong, hard to tackle. So like Jaden Reed is kind of like my guy who's like kind of still, for a lot of people outside of the Green Bay Packers, kind of like a dark horse type of guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, he only started 13 games last year and still had 793 yards and 8 touchdowns. Again, this guy, like I said, was just kind of bursted out there for everybody and bang, like, whoa, who's this guy? You know what I mean? So expect big things again with this team, who's very youthful, and I'm the come up here for the Green Bay Packers.
100%.
It's going to be big. So we'll see this moving forward. All right, and finally for this division, we've got the Vikings and edge rusher Jonathan Greenard.
Yeah, Jonathan Greenard came over from the Texans. He had a tremendous year last year for Houston, but was they couldn't come to a deal, you know, before free agency. So here he is, free agent, is out there waiting. Vikings called him up right away, tried to get a deal done right away, able to lock him in. And in a, it's almost like a perfect weathered storm here, because they move on from a veteran defensive end and now get another youthful edge rusher in Jonathan Greenard. I think this is a guy that's going to come in. They don't miss a beat there in terms of pass rushing and just all around creating a lot of problems for linemen and running backs in the backfield.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to now the Atlanta Falcons for the NFC South here. Kyle Pitts. Here we go again. Who's consistently done some stuff there. You know, his first season been a big focal point for that offense here.
Yep.
When it was under Arthur Smith.
Then
they forgot about him again. But again, different, couldn't find that quarterback situation. They had to try out who they had, and they weren't sure. They had Mariota and all this other nonsense. They got Kirk Cousins now, at least for the time being, you know. Because that's what he had to be. They had to be excited about right now. And this is nice. Again, so Kyle Pitts, a great receiver that they got had, which is basically a tight end, but I mean, it's basically a receiver on top of it too. So the weapons here with Kirk Cousins, they got the quarterback, no questions there. So you got to expect big things with this kid.
Yeah, Jim, have you seen the video highlights of Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins yet?
Not yet.
I got to tell you, it's like poetry and motion.
OTAs right now? Some
practices. Yes. OTAs.
Yes.
Nice. It's like poetry in motion. It looks fantastic.
Oh.
And it's got to make a lot of Falcons fans.
Your brother's really probably salivating.
For the fact that Kirk Cousins is now a legit quarterback for Atlanta, that, oh, look, that's not over Trump. Oh, yeah, that's right on target. Holy shit.
Yes.
That didn't happen last year, so now it's going to. I almost wanted to piggyback this pick because Kyle Pitts is going to be the biggest beneficiary out of it. Mm-hmm. Drake London, obviously, he's going to be there. You gotta like it, right? But then Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson, I feel like this is going to make him even better because now teams are they were more focused on Bijan last year. And they're like, well, we're not worried about the quarterback throwing. Our defense can handle that. Now, it's like, well, okay, they got a really good quarterback, and they got Bijan. So, we're going to be on our heels. So, Atlanta Falcons, I think Kyle Pitts will be the beneficiary of this. Definitely going to have a breakout year. And watch for a lot of touchdowns. This dude is going to have double-digit touchdowns this year.
All right. Next up here for the Panthers, we've got running back Jonathan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks, running back, rookie running back out of this year's draft for the Panthers. I'm not really keen on Chuba Hubbard as the starter. Apparently on the depth chart, he's labeled as the starter. I think Jonathan Brooks, the only reason why is because Brooks is still technically coming back from an injury, isn't ready yet to, you know, participate in practice and whatnot. But when he does, when training camp rolls around, and Brooks is out there, he's winning the job and running with it. Like, there's no chance that when Brooks is healthy that he stays a backup. He's too talented, too gifted of a player. Very fast, quick, shifty, and a stronger running back than what he looks like. Think about Alvin Kamara. He's similar to him. And with that kind of talent, you definitely got to get him out on the football field. And for the very least, to help Bryce Young out, because he needs all the help he can get. So Brooks, to me, will be the rookie running back of his class to be that breakout player, because definitely they need everything out there.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll work out for them, the Panthers. It was funny, too. I just saw the thing about the Panthers. Like, I guess tickets for the whole season.
Yeah.
It's like under $700. Right? So it's bad, the whole season. Like, tickets for the whole, every game.
I bet you if you showed up to the game and they didn't sell out, that they would give you the ticket to go in.
That's it.
I'm willing to bet that.
We should make a trip out to Carolina then.
Let's go. Why not? We can watch the Carolina game.
Let's do it. Hell yeah. You know? It's cheaper, so it's better to watch it even. You can watch it for cheaper, like, you know, instead of watching it on TV, you watch it, you know, in the stadium. That's pretty amazing stuff. But meanwhile, like I said, I think they also said that the most expensive ticket was it Chiefs and your Raiders this season? Or was it your Raiders and somebody was the most expensive? Oh, the Steelers. No. The Raiders and the Steelers, like I said, was the most expensive game.
No, the Raiders stadium. Their games alone are the highest ticket to buy.
Man.
Ridiculous. Not even a playoff team yet. not even a Super Bowl caliber, but you're the highest. Oh my God, that's just crazy.
That is crazy. All right, so moving on now to the Saints. Why are we saying A.T. Perry?
I guess it's Vegas.
Yeah, you know? That's all I think of.
Vegas. It's an attraction, y'all.
Yeah. All right.
Saints, A.T. Perry. This guy kind of slowly, steadily came on late last season. Mm-hmm. Definitely you saw the chemistry building with Derek Carr and A.T. Perry. You had guys running long routes like Chris Olave. Chris Olave half running a route and getting yelled at by Carr when he drops back. It's like, dude, you're running a route for a reason. It's to make the whole play work. It's not always going to go to you, but make it work. A.T. Perry, no exception. That dude literally did everything he was asked to do and more. So you saw him getting the football more late down the stretch. And now I think now he's kind of solidified a starting job now for the Saints. Coming into the season, it is on the depth chart as a starter. And look for him to be out there with, you know, Chahi and with Chris Olave. Now you're going to have A.T. Perry, who, mind you, isn't your average wide receiver. This guy is not only just fast. He's tremendous in size. Okay. Like, this dude is, like, tall, like 6'5", type of wide receiver, but has speed. So, and a tremendous catching radius. So, this guy could be a red zone threat for Carr. This guy's going to be one of those guys that, when people forget about him, is going to be open for a pass. So, I think A.T. Perry is going to do just fine this year.
Yeah, again, not a whole lot of playing time last year, but again, did something with what he could there. Looking to improve this year, absolutely, too. And more playing time would only help with that. So
right.
I can see that. All right, next we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and edge rusher Yaya Diaby.
That's right, Yaya. I love the name. You know, this dude is a very untapped, talented type of player. He is very, like, when I watch him play, he has so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's unreal. Like a lot of guys on the football field, they all got energy. You know, they're all bringing it. They're all hyped up, and they make a good play, and everyone gets excited, right? But Yaya is, like, on a whole other level. Like, when he's on the football field, it's almost like they have to give him downers just to keep him, you know, normal level. Like, this dude is crazy. Guy that goes sideline to sideline, like up and down the football field, screams off the edge, very tenacious, very aggressive, very intense. Yaya is going to be a big-time playmaker for the Buccaneers on the defensive side of the ball. This dude is going to wreak havoc this upcoming season. Let me tell you, I think this will be his breakout year.
Yeah, I mean, if it is, I mean, that's even better because, again, he made the AP Defensive Rookie of the Year, too, on top of that, and with 7.5 sacks. Sky's the limit again, but you said energy. I remember watching, you know, the Bucks games last year with him.
And I was
like, who the heck's this guy? And he brings the energy. and something that defense needs.
Right.
Definitely. All right. So next we've got here the for the
Arizona Cardinals.
NFC, yes, the NFC West here. The Cardinals wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., our fourth rookie.
Yeah, I had a hard time with this one. I'm like, who's going to show up?
I know who's going to show up.
I don't know.
You don't think Kyler Murray's going to have a breakthrough year?
No, I think he's going to do whatever Marvin Harrison does. Mm-hmm. And in turn, that's why he's going to have the breakout year. Even if Marvin Harrison goes for like 1,400 receiving yards and let's say 12 touchdowns, like that's a pretty good year. Guess what? That'll probably only be what Kyler Murray has in passing yards. Cardinals, they still got to build that team up. They're not ready yet to compete. Like, they're going to, but at the same time, like, they still have some holes that they got to iron out and fulfill and whatnot. But in the meantime, their offensive line doesn't look as putrid as I thought before the offseason happened. Now they've made some upgrades. They've moved some guys around to where it's sustainable. And you have other players like Marvin Harrison now there. You have Trey McBride there at tight end who started to come on late last season. So it's got some pieces to work with, but Marvin Harrison to me is going to be the catalyst of that offense. It's going to be the reason why they're able to put up points. It's going to be even if he's not catching the ball, he's going to be a factor because teams are going to be so paying so much attention to him that other guy's going to be open. So Marvin Harrison to me is the breakout player for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and he's got that big play ability, and like much like we were talking about with the Malik Nabers here, for them, they need a target like this, and it can only help that offense. Like you said, Kyler Murray, go to him, bang, bang, you know, you could be the guy, and he could have a wonderful year here too because that's your weapon.
Which I'm surprised that they didn't try to keep Hollywood Brown. Like, if they kept Hollywood Brown and added Marvin,
a little bit of a tandem,
that would have been pretty nice. Now you're looking pretty solid on offense to where, like, at least your offense won't be the reason why you lose games.
Yeah, because they don't have a lot of the wide receivers they've had in the previous years.
No depth. A lot of depth is gone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe Zay Jones will make a push to try and get up there in the depth chart. He did pretty well.
Old man Jones.
Yeah, he did all right for Jacksonville when he was there on occasion.
Yeah, until he got hurt. That's the thing. It's like now he's getting older. He's starting to get injured more often. That's kind of that concern. But you're right. Maybe Zay Jones can stay healthy this year. He definitely can help if he does so.
All right, next up for the 49ers here, we're staying on the rookie train, and it's wide receiver Ricky Parasol.
That's right. Guys get love to the rookies, too,
Rookie.
But, man, I loved Ricky Parasol coming out from Florida. The guy has some of the best hands in the draft. The guy's truly amazing on some of the catches he was able to make. His routes are nice. He's kind of built for the NFL level. This dude is not just a good sized athlete, 6 foot, over 200 pounds, but also he's chiseled. He is built like for like a grown man at the next level. So Ricky Parasol, all that put together, and he's right now he's penciled in as slot receiver for the 49ers. Yes, the same Niners that has Brandon Ayuk still and Debo Samuel. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, double team those guys, and then watch the rookie cook.
It's going to be nuts. That team is going to be dangerous once again. So I'm excited already for this season, Joe. I can't wait. You can't come fast enough here for us. So next, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks and wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yeah, this is a guy that I thought was going to have a breakout year last year.
Right.
And it didn't work. It didn't happen.
Yeah. I'm saying he's got the talent there, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's shine.
Exactly. I'm sticking with it this year, though. I'm going with Jaxon Smith-Njigba to finally the NFL clicks for him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to kind of take it over. You know what I mean? Because you already have DK Metcalf, right? And like that's what everybody kind of points to. Is like, oh, the number one there for Seattle. Watch out for him. Double team him and try to, you know, get him off his game. Where I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is kind of like that underling, you know what I mean? For lack of a better word, he's like the underling wide receiver for Seattle that everybody has seemed to forgotten because he didn't make a big enough impact last year like people thought. So this guy, I definitely think that this is the year for him where he's going to get more involved in the offense. He's definitely going to get the football over the middle a lot more to be able to kind of break up the monotony of these defenses and what they're like really double teaming on the outsides. Now it's time for Jackson's turn to kind of take over games where it makes defenses get themselves on their heels. Now they're starting to scratch their heads and thinking a lot more instead of reacting. And he's going to have a good year for me.
Yeah, I can totally see that too as well. We've got a comment. We got William De Pilar in the house with us tonight. There he is.
What's going on, William?
I think I'll get better at that.
Yeah, welcome to the show, bro.
He says, hi, guys. About Marvin Harrison Jr., what about Fanatic suing him and thoughts on how this will affect college athletes? Off topic, but you guys are on fire. Hey, definitely, we're not afraid to go off topic a little bit, but still bringing up Marvin Harrison Jr., it is one of those things that's out there. It's a little different. But it's funny how all of a sudden, you know, you see the way the perspective was spoken about, even Marvin Harrison Jr. He's like, oh, he's got those NIL deals with Fanatics, and he hasn't signed the thing yet. And they kind of looked negatively about him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden, Fanatics, you know, he said that I did not have a full deal with him, and I did not do it with them. So then now they're pissed off, and now they're signing. So it makes him actually look on the better half of it all, and he's kind of stepping up and standing up for some of these other players, and he's like, listen, you guys aren't going to play me out that way and bully me that way because lock me into a deal to where I'm in the NFL now, and I'm on this deal, and I can make more money doing this. You're not going to lock me into a four-year deal when the 2 years of those, I'm already in the NFL.
So if, in fact, he didn't sign it like he says he did, this is a non-issue. Already, like it doesn't matter. They have nothing to stand on. So, but let's just say, if he actually did sign it, where they have proof, where Fanatics has proof of him signing it, he's locked in. There's nothing you can do about it. You signed it. You signed off on it. And that's the thing. That's really what it comes down to. Is if he signed it, show us proof. And if he didn't sign it, then you got nothing to stand on. It doesn't matter. It's a non-issue. It's going to go away. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. You know, it's going to be relatively soon. It's going to be like that judgment call or some new information is going to come out to where like, okay, that's what happened. All right, we get it. You know, so I think regardless of what happens, whether it be good or bad for Marvin, I don't think it's going to affect anything for him. When you're the most sought after wide receiver, or one of the most sought after receivers in the draft, the team, now that you're with, is going to back you 110%. Regardless of what it is, you guys are going to get through it, and you're going to play, no matter what. Nothing will be affected. You'll see his jersey sales go through the roof once that all gets done, and, you know, T's get crossed and the I's get dotted. So, I think this is going to end up being a non-issue. I know it's kind of like a little news break this as of today, but I think this is going to be forgotten pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's funny because Pat McAfee brought up the fact with not signing the deal with NFLPA, and it's not exactly a horrible thing, and players don't have to. And he said that there's even players during his time that did not, and he was one of the ones that left the NFLPA because, again, he ended up getting – drug tested like 25 times in a season or something like that. So, you know what the F is up with this, guys? You know, you guys aren't sticking up for me and all this other nonsense. Exactly. I'm out. You know, forget this. So, interesting stuff. So I'm wondering too if that will be another trend that some of these other guys won't go for the signing even within the NFLPA. All right. So finally here with the breakout players of the 2024 season, the Rams defensive tackle, Kobe Turner, Joe.
Yeah, Kobe Turner. Not a lot of people know this guy, but get ready.
Yeah.
It's happening. Kobe Turner, D-tackle. That's right. The guy that is literally going to replace Aaron Donald. Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald. I'm saying that this guy is a very good player, though. A guy that hasn't been spoken of because he's been kind of waiting in the wings, you know, just getting better behind closed doors. And now that Donald has decided to retire and has moved on, here comes Kobe. Last year, Kobe Turner had 9 sacks. 9. Mm-hmm. As a defensive tackle, 9 sacks. Very quietly. Because I'll be honest, I didn't hear Kobe Turner having 9 sacks. So I'm just saying, like, that being said, and he was sitting and he was kind of in the rotation of it all, now he's a starter. Now he's out there. Now there's no secrets to be had. Kobe Turner is going to be a presence for any team that kind of has to face him. So I think the Rams are in great hands because they not only have Kobe Turner there, obviously, but also they drafted not one, but two guys that are going to be playing on that D-line. Jared Verse from Florida State, who was seen as one of the best DMs coming out, and then you have Braden Fisk, who was seen as one of the best D-tackles coming out. Braden Fisk looked like he's going to fit a hybrid role at end in that new formation of the defense, and then obviously you have Verse. Two tremendously talented players, both from Florida State, both playing together yet again. So, you know, the chemistry is going to be there on that D-line. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see what the Rams do this year, the growth of their rookies and how quick they're able to adapt for the NFL and see if they can make an impact.
That's right. There you go. There's our 2024 breakout players right. for every single team. So if you don't remember any of the ones we just said or you haven't already yet, you can go back and listen to this video again. It's going to get cut in the chapters. You just highlight the chapter of the team that you want, and boom, there it is.
I might
so listen to it all over again.
That's right. I might just be as bold to say as, like, if you're looking for fantasy players, maybe take some of these names off of the list and keep them, you know, kind of hidden away for maybe a little bit later on for your draft.
That is very good advice, Joe. You know what is also some good advice? Why don't you tell everybody where you can find more videos like this and podcasts like this,
even easy audio versions.
Man, you give me all the easy jobs.
I do. I try.
Listen, so good.
Very simple. Very simple. Go to grumblingsmedia.com. You can also go to rumble.com and check us out there. That's Grumblings Media. Listen, you go there, and I'm telling you right now, it's one-stop shopping right here for podcasts. That's it. It's the only place you need to go. Check out all the podcasts that we have to offer there at Grumblings Media. Political, entertainment, sports, you name it, it's there. Make sure you subscribe while you're there. Like our video and comment down below anything you guys want to talk about. Give us your opinions, your questions, anything, any given week. We will be here every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys kind of put it on the calendar. Put it in your cell phones. Remind your friends and family. This is the place to be if you want to talk football. We are the most interactive football talk show out there. We want to prove it to you guys. So bring as many people as you can next week, Tuesday, 8 p.m. That's Grumblings Media. And you can also take us on the go. If you got to go to work, it's okay. You can listen to us on the car ride in. You just go hop in and say, hey, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora. That's where you can just follow us, tag along, hey, and maybe you can even have some of your friends listen. But hey, you like football? Check this out. What do you think? Hey, go subscribe to them on YouTube. They're legit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where it's at, Blitz Nation.
Exactly.
Let's go.
That's right, Blitz Nation. That's it for us tonight. We will see you guys next time.